While Jays fans celebrate, Marlins fans, though, are left wondering, what just happened? Buster Olney, senior writer at ESPN The Magazine and an analyst for ESPN's Baseball Tonight. Buster, last November, Marlins owner Jeffrey Loria said, if our ballpark could speak, its first words would be, hola, Miami. What would the ballpark be saying today, do you think?
Well, I think Marlins fans are probably thinking that there was two words coming from the Marlins, and they weren't hola, Miami. They were not happy with what's gone on with this deal. A lot of questions in South Florida, a lot of anger. And what's interesting is that it absolutely confirms the worst fears that I heard from baseball officials last fall when the Marlins started courting these high-end free agents. They were concerned this exact situation would play out, where the Marlins would sign these big-name guys, take on a lot of money, and then if it didn't go well, that they would dump the contracts. And, you know, that's in keeping with the Marlins' history. But given what's gone on there the last two, 3 years with the new publicly funded ballpark, the concern was they were going to damage the market, and that's exactly what's happened for Major League Baseball.
Okay, so let's look beyond the this is terrible for Miami, terrible for their image, terrible for everything, and let's look beyond the fact that this is great for the Blue Jays and great for their image and great for selling tickets. Strictly as a baseball deal, is this as one-sided as a lot of people in Canada now think?
In terms of getting talent, according to rival evaluators, yes, no question about it. The Blue Jays, in the eyes of rival executives, didn't give up a lot of talent to get Jose Reyes and Mark Burley and Josh Johnson. Now, that said, and there's no every person I talked to today said there's no question this trade makes the Blue Jays better. There were a lot of questions asked about, boy, is Jose Reyes going to be able to stay healthy with those with that history of leg injuries while playing on an artificial surface? Will Josh Johnson bounce back from what was a very mediocre year last year? Or does he have shoulder issues? And will Mark Burley, who is a fly ball pitcher, succeed in that ballpark in a tougher division playing in the American League East? So I would say that the perception of people around baseball is that it's a qualified success for the Blue Jays.
Okay, so if you look at last season, you say, okay, yesterday morning, before this trade was made, the Blue Jays were a 500 baseball team. And I mean, this is a big leap, and there's so much that could happen, and everybody believes that Alex Anthopoulos will make another deal, including a catcher. But if they were a 500 baseball team before this trade, how do you see them now?
Right in the mix. And I think you, by the end of this winter, you're going to literally be able to make a case for any one of the five teams in the division to win. Keep in mind, while the Blue Jays are doing this, it doesn't look like the Yankees are going to do a blockbuster. They're just going to try to keep the guys on their pitching staff that they want to retain, like Pettit, Kuroda, and Mariano Rivera. It doesn't look like the Red Sox are going to make some big, bold move this offseason. The Rays are always having to deal with that fragile equation with a $60 million payroll. The Orioles are going to look for a corner outfielder, first baseman, maybe a starting pitcher, but they're not going to take a big step forward. I think you have a situation where all five teams, you could project them winning anywhere from 83 to 94, 95 wins with no super team in the American League. I talked to an executive or in the American League East. I talked to a general manager early today. He said, you know what's funny? When I think about the best three teams in the American League, I don't think a single one of them comes out of that division. It's the first time in a long time we've been able to say that.
Yeah, it's. I mean, the whole landscape obviously has changed. So we're talking about Miami. We're saying, hey, you know, they did get some talent back. And let's face it, they were a terrible team last year, even with the guys that were traded yesterday. But how will they handle their players? I mean, Giancarlo Stanton tweeted already, all right, I'm pissed off, plain and simple. So how do you go to guys on your team and say, hey, you know what? We are still all about winning.
I don't think there's a lot you can do because I think that history is going to keep essentially a lot of those players cynical. Now, you know, the guys who are called up and they're going to have to rely on young players, a lot of them are going to be excited about being in the big leagues and they're not going to worry about the history. But you can bet that someone like a Giancarlo Stanton is already looking forward to the day when he gets traded out of the city. Maybe Logan Morrison, their first baseman outfielder, feels the same way. But it's hard to really make a case right now that there's any kind of a real future in baseball as long as Jeffrey Loria owns the Marlins down in South Florida.
Final question, if Bowie Kuhn were still alive, would he be saying, best interest of baseball, I can't approve this?
I think he would make this trade go away. I absolutely do. Now, when he turned down the sale of players Vita Blue, Raleigh Fingers, and Joe Rudy in 1976, remember, those were pure sales by Oakland owner Charlie Finley. And right. when you talk to baseball officials now, they say this is not a situation where a lot of money, cash is exchanging hands in this deal. It's over $1 million, but it's not a huge amount. So they feel like the commissioner can't step in. But I do think there are enough questions about this that a more aggressive commissioner would step in and say, this just can't go on with this much salary changing hands.
Great information. Buster, thanks for squeezing us in today. I know it's a hugely busy day.
Thanks, Michael.